Okay, I'd like to call to order today's meeting of the Illinois State Toll Highway Authority Strategic Planning Committee. And could we call a roll, please?
Committee Chair Wiseman.
Here.
Director Sweeney. Director Towns.
Here.
We have a forum.
Okay, and I would indicate that we expect Director Sweeney shortly. And I would also like to thank Director Reddy for being in attendance today. Good to be with us. Reviewing the agenda, are there any wishes to alter or add to the agenda? If not, we'll proceed then to approve the minutes of the previous meeting of this committee. The meeting was held on June 20th, 2012. Do we have a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
In a second. Guess that would be me. Okay, very good. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Minutes are approved. And then we have a number of things to discuss under the executive director portion of the agenda. And so with that, I'd ask Rocco if he could give us some updates on work plan, council outreach.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, I'm skipping number three.
I'm sorry. Oh, I am American. Yeah, that would be egregious. Omission there, wouldn't it? So we do want to get to public comment here. And so with that, thank you for alerting me to that. And with that, then we have a number of folks who have asked to speak. Is that, do you need approval at each instance, or is this just a regular traditional part of the meeting that doesn't?
It's been a traditional part of the meeting. We just typically take them in order.
Okay. The Aurora City Council, we approve it each time it comes up.
I
think this is a much better policy. Okay, with that then, I would first like to recognize Rob Sherman.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Rob Sherman, Box 7410 on the Cook County side of Buffalo Grove. The purpose of my presentation this morning, is to attempt to try to frame the debate regarding the extension of Route 53 through Lake County. I have brought with me a copy of the Toll Highway Act, and throughout the Act, it talks about reasonable, necessary, and convenient, that the Toll Highway Authority is supposed to do things that are reasonable, necessary, and convenient for the public. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a proposal to make the roadway at 45 miles an hour. It's not necessary to limit speeds to 45. Imagine if people coming in from Aurora were told all of a sudden, guess what, the East-West Tollway is going to be reduced down to 45 miles an hour. You think, hey, that's nuts. Why should people from Antioch or Fox Lake coming in to the city on the tollway be limited to 45. It's not reasonable, it's not necessary, and certainly not convenient for them. Similarly, the proposal to charge the people of Northwest Cook County $75 to $100 million a year to make them the primary funding source for this highway as is being considered. It is one of the proposals being considered. Well, that's not fair, that's not reasonable, that's not convenient to the people of Northwest Cook County, where I live. I support the project. I was one of the original people back in 1985 that supported the extension. In regards to user fees, tolls, I get it. In regards to the proposal, that the concept that when you build a new roadway, a new tollway, that other parts of the system supplement the cost. But here, with the proposal for the high tolls on the Cook County portion of Route 53, what you're doing is turning the a system of user fees into a system of non-user fees, because that's not a part of the system right now. So I ask that you take into consideration the speed Some of the amenities of my good friend David Stolman had referred to having the roadway depressed by 7 feet or thereabouts along part of the way as a stealth highway. Well, that's nice, that's fine, but that's very expensive, particularly if somebody else is paying for it. So I ask that this project be built, but it be done in a way that limits the cost to only those things that are necessary. Certainly environmental concerns are necessary, but limited to things that are necessary, things that are reasonable, and two other very brief things. One of the items on the agenda is a review, item 5-2, the review of the interchange cost share policy. I'm familiar with that policy. That's a reasonable way of doing interchanges. Well, similarly, this roadway, there should be the cost should be shared with the people of Lake County for this Lake County Highway instead of this unprecedented proposal of dragging people in from another county specifically for the purpose of funding a tollway in a different county. And the last thing I want to leave you with, you have received, I'm sure, a copy of the resolution from the Village of Buffalo Grove in support of the Route 53 corridor tollway improvements. And one of the items referenced here, it says, whereas the Route 53 extension enjoys overwhelming support from Lake County residents. Well, sure, Lake County residents would be all for having people of Cook County pay for their roadway, but I don't think the people of Cook County feel that it's their job, it's their responsibility, it's fair, it's their obligation. One very quick last item. Many people are amazed that another friend of mine, Terry Link, has flipped and now supports this project after years of not supporting it. I ran for state representative as a Democrat in 2006. I'm now the chairman of the Cook County Green Party. But I ran for state rep, where Sid Mathias is a wonderful state rep, in 2006 in the Democratic Party. And when I mentioned my support of the Route 53 extension, I was told, oh, well, Terry Link is opposed to it. And I said, why? This roadway makes so much sense. And I was told, well, the reason he opposes it is the concern that if that any state money that goes into Lake County, he wants to go into the eastern and northern part of the county where he's at rather than the western and southern part. And so why does he support the project now? Why? It's because the people of Northwest Cook County are paying for it. It's not taking away state dollars. So please take those matters into consideration as this project moves forward. I expect the project to be built. I expect that it will be built. But it's not the job of the people of Northwest Cook County to be the primary funders. The road should not be at 45 miles an hour because it's not convenient, it's not necessary, it's not reasonable. Certain amenities, whether it's a bus lane or a bike path or depressing the roadway by 7 feet, if that's what the people of Lake County want to do, let Lake County pay for that, those sorts of things, and have people part of the tollway system pay for the things that are necessary and reasonable. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. The next speaker would be Steve Park. And if you would come forward, identify the organization or company, et cetera, that you represent.
Good morning. My name is Steve Park. I'm a senior vice president with the Alter Group, who has property near where 53 would come into Grays Lake Libertyville area. I want to clarify one thing that I have to do whenever I speak this way. I also happen to be a Village of Gurnee trustee, but I'm not addressing it from that perspective today. I'm only speaking about it from the other. I want to encourage this committee to move this project forward. The traffic congestion in Lake County is generally regarded as the number one problem facing residents from an employment, a shopping, and a movement of goods. And it is important for our economic development of the region, not just Lake County, to improve that situation. I think the analysis that the staff and consultants did on why this is needed is self-evident. The level of traffic going through the intersection of Lake Cook and 53 is more than significant. But in order to make that movement, to a better congestion situation, this is a key piece, not only for Lake County, but for the region. The issue to me is businesses throughout the area, including new businesses that we are trying to draw into the area and or allow for businesses to expand, find it much too easy to move out or to move elsewhere. We have had several key businesses in Lake County move out of the region into southern Wisconsin, including some that were key members of our economic development group. They just couldn't get there from here. We build typically office and industrial buildings. We have had clients come to us and say, we need to get closer because our employees have too much difficulty getting to work. This project can drastically improve that situation. It's part of the entire network of roads, major arterials, and interstate level quality highways that is necessary in order to make Lake County and Chicago competitive regionally, nationally, and actually globally. So I encourage you to move this forward, do the analysis that is required, do the investigation, get the design going, and build it. It's that simple. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Marty Bueller.
Good morning, and thank you for the committee. My name is Marty Bueller. I'm now the executive director for the Lake County Transportation Alliance after some 40-year career with Lake County government in transportation. And Lake County Transportation Alliance has been around for several years and has had a lot of success in moving the transportation agenda forward in Lake County on state highways, transit. We were very fully supportive of the referendum that was held on Route 53 as a project, which is very telling on the support that this project has in Lake County. Being in the industry, the tollway has done very many innovative things, and I've heard recently about what's going to be done on the I-90 corridor out to Rockford, very exciting things. Illinois 53 and 120 is the next step above that. It's very exciting, very innovative, and now is the time to move forward to the next step. The Blue Ribbon Committee that the tollway established was a very innovative step and produced amazing results. And now it's time to move forward from that to get the benefits for Lake County and the region as a whole. Terms of economic development, which was mentioned, quality of life of people in the region, less congestion in the region, and environmental enhancements to the region. The report was just the first step, and Lake County Transportation Alliance is fully behind moving forward to the next step. Thank you very much.
Thank you. David Stolman.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's an honor to be here again. I'm representing the other co-chair. My companion, George Rainey, sends his very best. I also am the chairman of Lake County Board. And I want to thank both Steve Park as well as Marty Bueller for their comments, because I'd like to really integrate their comments with mine. This is historic. We know that the tollway, hats off to the tollway, Paula and Chrissy, I can't say enough of what you were able to do for, I think, the concept of transportation and moving it forward. It's innovative, it's creative. The design, of course, perhaps can be tweaked a little bit. There are various aspects that need to still be reviewed, but we beseech you to please move this forward. It's historic. The citizenry of Lake County came out 76% on a nondescript referendum, if you will. The county spent not one nickel in promoting it. and people came out of the woodwork to show its support. The reality is it would sustain economic development, enhance the environment. As you see, you know, we are still, to this day, losing businesses. We lost Motorola, 3,000 or 2,350 employees. And everyone is in competition for that dollar. We are the representative of Illinois. We border Wisconsin, so we have people coming, the governor constantly coming in to our county to try to solicit businesses to move up to Wisconsin. We constantly have governors of other states, including Indiana and even New Jersey, coming to our area to solicit. What we're trying to do is group our economic development so that we know we will have a future. And with a highway system that we've designed, we obviously need your input and consideration with regard to this. We beseech you again, just please move it forward quickly. You know, the sooner that this happens, the less carrying costs are involved, the less costly the project is, and we're all in it together as partners. So clearly, Lake County is very, very supportive of everything you do, and we're thankful for being here.
Thank you very much. I think that concludes our public comment period, and I appreciate all those who spoke. Moving on then to number five on the agenda, Executive Director reports. And Christy, how do you want to proceed with that?
We will, as we always do at the beginning of these meetings, I know Rocco will go over our work plan and general update on our outreach for our various planning councils. Then I know we have these two items of the interchange cost share policy, which was discussed at the last meeting, some updates there, and proposals based on the discussion of how we might see some revisions to that. Then there'll be we hope that it will be a thorough presentation on the 53 report, but we also want to have some discussion with the committee members here and hopefully develop a plan of action and maybe some next steps on that. So, Rocco, do you want to take us through the work plan?
Yep, I'll be brief on this. So some of the things that we've been doing, you know, we're still kind of tracking pretty good with the original work plan that we put out. Obviously today, you know, we're going to be talking about the interchange policy. Last month we had a little bit on the environmental and sustainability policy, more what we're doing done on that. Some of the things on the outreach front I want to alert you to. Well, and today we kind of, you know, bringing the 53 is in the spirit of everything that we do with the strategic planning, but it wasn't necessarily a specific work plan item, but something very important. A few things on outreach. I believe at the last board meeting, I gave you an update on the 294-57 project and some of the outreach that's going on with that. We're still working on some dates for our town hall meeting, getting that finalized. There's also been some movement with the CMAP on their Economic Development Steering Committee. This committee is really going to help focus some of the economic development of all the communities down in the Chicago Southland, really adjacent to the 294-57 interchange. That work will be initiated by CMAP later this year, so we're working with them on that overall outreach. On the I-90 corridor, on Monday, we will be doing a kind of a kickoff, an introduction for the west section. What we deem the west section is from Elgin out to Rockford. We invite about 60 to 70 different county and municipal elected officials, the economic development organizations, the chambers of commerce, and some of the key organizations out in the west section to really inform them about what's happening along the west section of I-90 that's moving along some of the construction, as you well know, is going to be starting this year. We want to alert people to what's happening, what's going to happen, and what the opportunities are moving forward. So that will be on August 20th. We're going to be meeting at the Boone County Administration Building. And that's kind of our kickoff of our quarter outreach on that. Some of the other projects, you'll hear about the 53-120 project obviously today, and then IDOT continues to lead the work on the Ileana project. They conducted public hearings on July 31st and August 1st. Comments are open on that project through August 29th. We're going to continue to coordinate with IDOT on that particular project. They've got three corridors that are now down in their tier one of the environmental impact statement, and that will ultimately be whittled down to a single line. But we continue to work with the Department of Transportation on that particular project. So that's pretty much on the work plan. And today we really want to focus on the interchange policy and the 53-120. Any questions on the outreach to date?
Okay, thank you. On the interchange cost sharing policy, as we did with the noise abatement policy, that we took that out of the file and took a fresh look at it. I think it was about 5 years old, as is the interchange cost sharing policy. So that we're doing the same thing here on the interchange cost sharing policy we do with noise abatement, taking a fresh look at it, seeing if in the current environment or context, whether there's useful tweaks that could be made to the policy that going forward will make sure that that where a strong case could be made to complete an interchange or to build a new one, that that we really have the mechanics worked out and the means by which they could proceed if they're well documented and well supported. So we have that update, and Rocco, if you want to touch on the highlights of that, and we know that following this there will be an open comment period for the public, and we'll take that input and then try to finalize the policy shortly. So if you'd like to touch on what you consider to be the highlights, Rocco.
Sure. Some of the highlights of the changes from the policy, really it comes from looking back over the 5 years during the discussion from the strategic planning committee back in February and then again in June, and make some changes. I'm going to do this basically in the order of the changes that were made within the policy itself. One thing that we're clarifying right up front is that the any applicants for new or expanded interchanges must come from governmental entities. That's what we've been working on. Ultimately, we have to enter into an intergovernmental agreement, so we want to clarify that applicants must be other governmental entities. One thing that really came from discussion here was inclusion of consideration of designated truck routes for some prioritization. So now we've added more information about what's necessary and defining what the designated truck routes are and how that relates to any new interchange requests. We were realizing that there was maybe some inconsistencies of where truck routes are and where we have our interchanges, so it's really kind of aligning the greater mobility goals of Northern Illinois with the policy.
Rocco, can you talk for a second about where the designated truck route designation comes from?
Designation from truck, excellent question. It comes from a combination of CMAP and the Illinois Department of Transportation. Mm-hmm. CMAP covers really the northeastern part of the state. IDOT covers the remainder of the state, so it's a combination of both of them. These are mirrors closely, not identical, to the strategic regional arterial designation. SRA is what the acronym is. These are the main corridors that are not part of the interstate system that are designated for carrying these trucks, heavier weight vehicles, so keep the trucks off the side roads, put them on these main routes. But it's really designated by CMAP and IDOT in the eastern side of the state, and then IDOT takes the remainder of the state.
So that the goal here is to make sure that our interchanges sync up better with that overall plan?
There are some that the designated truck routes over 50 years things have changed, not necessarily major, but it's just really aligning us better with consideration. It's not the sole consideration, it's another consideration of money other than what we're considering as part of this policy, but that's a call out now. That we've added to the what we expect the applicant to give us information on the truck routes and weights. And then also the other thing I want to clarify this too, what we have been hearing about, I think Director Sweeney brought this up, we've heard about it in some of our outreach, compatibility with, great that this is a truck route here, but what has the community done or the county done to make sure that the roads feeding into that truck route can also handle these additional weights? So it's getting a better understanding of movement of freight and how that would tie into our investments. Other things that we've called on here is requesting more information regarding a financial plan and sources of funding for projects. We want to understand better where the funding is going to be coming from and what reimbursement schedules would be suggested from the local financing. Really this too we wanted to call out, make sure that if there is going to be federal funding used for the project or state funding, we'd like to know. Federal funding could, as called out in the policy, could put us into a different project sponsor or leadership as far as implementation goes. Requires different levels of approval, so we want to call that out specifically so we understand that. So more on the financial plan. also wanted to clarify how we evaluate and set toll rates for any of these new interchanges. It can be done in a couple different ways. It can be looked at as a standalone. This interchange needs to generate X amount of dollars, and what we would do to maybe set a slightly higher toll rate to recapture our investment, or maybe even the possibility of looking at in somewhat of a corridor adjacent interchange approach to say, okay, if we get support from the surrounding communities, the county, whoever it is, the applicants, say, let's look at this maybe, you know, not just an isolated area, but we think there might be benefits for the neighboring corridor, maybe establish it that way. So something a little bit that we've done, but we haven't memorialized in any way. We've evaluated that way. Anyway, and then some, I think the biggest changes is some of the new criteria that we're putting in there for consideration for the possibility of increasing the tollways investment beyond the 50% threshold for any existing partial interchanges. So we've got numerous partial interchanges across our entire system. And what has been brought up through the strategic planning committee, we hear a little bit from the outside as well, how we could maybe consider increasing our level of investment. We've thought about this just from the partial interchange standpoint. Things that we're considering now is what the revenue projections are, and if they exceed the 50% threshold that we've historically set, so if the revenues bring in more on a net system line, it would give us a reason to consider an increased level of contribution. Does it provide access to a truck route or strategic regional arterial? Is the project located in a rural area? This is other things that we've heard about some of these rural areas. They're just not going to have the traffic, so maybe there's a prolonged period of evaluation over a 15-year period to provide some additional consideration there. If the applicant owns or has rights to the right-of-way, this could be also a private donation. We want to make that very clear. This is an indication that we could get the land quick and deliver the project soon instead of having to go through all the rigors of actually trying to acquire the land. Give us some reason. If the applicant agrees to finance the project with tollway reimbursement, similar to what, with the Rosemont and Balmoral interchange. If the access serves multiple regional purposes, such as transit, crash investigation sites, commercial parking access, whatever it might be, other is there a bigger regional purpose? And then any projects that really involve collaboration or financing from multiple units of government would be another consideration of when we may increase our contribution. Lastly, one thing I do want to point out is that we did make some, this is an interchange in cost-sharing policy. The cost-sharing part does address the what we would do on new roadways, such as 53-120 Ileana and others. Elgin O'Hare as well. It's basically what we want to do is make sure that we've got a financially viable project. So there is some form of local contribution that is going to be required from all these projects. But what we want to do is make sure that it's financially viable. So we're going to be looking at some financial plan, which is something we're going to talk about with 53-120 as well. So those are pretty much the highlights of the changes in the policy.
Okay, thank you. I think the idea was basically to just make sure that we're up to date and up to speed, and that we're looking at the broad picture when we consider these things, and we can take into consideration a number of factors that are important. So, do we have any questions?
Can I make another point of clarification?
Sure.
Sorry. As the director was saying, we're going to post a policy following this meeting. It's going to go out for, I believe, a 21-day period. September 4th is when we would be taking comments through. September 4th, and we would look at what comments will. Distribute the comments back to you with the intent of bringing this policy back up for formal action on at the October 17th, I believe, Strategic Planning Committee.
Okay. So, and could you be more specific as to how people would access?
What we would do is we did this for the first time with our traffic noise policy. We posted on the tollway's website. There's communications that's going to be going out to the media to let people know it's out there. I'm actually going to be sending this out to some of those councils of mayors, counties that we've been talking to across the system to let them know it's out there. Mm-hmm. Also send it out to CMAP as well to have them distribute it.
So once they access our website, it'll be easy enough to identify how to navigate to this particular issue.
I believe we're going to have a banner that runs across the top that lets people know. Go to the policy.
Good. Just want to make it as easy as possible. Yeah.
I had just two comments, which I think I learned from Christy yesterday. One is, to put this in context, we do have a series of agreements with other communities under the toll policy, and we need to be fair and consistent in terms of how we
implement the new policy, and I think we have worked very hard to do that. And the other point, which Christie was saying yesterday, which just I hadn't thought of, it makes a lot of sense, is that these partial interchanges are so frustrating for our customers. I ended up having this experience once where you get off and you think, well, I can get right back on, but you can't get right back on. So I think what the committee's done in terms of thinking about how to make the application easier and also more likely to be successful in our funding is really an important thing for our customers.
And I think you touched on, I think the two critical elements here that we have to keep in mind are, number one, the concept of local contribution that remains, that's very important. And I think the other that you brought up is simply the fairness of those who have come before, and we want to make sure that we're consistent there as well. So I think due consideration is given on both counts so far, but certainly we're open to comment, and would appreciate those comments from the public and other interested parties. So again, that'll be posted, and then we'll take it from there over the next couple months. Okay. Now moving on to number three, dealing with the 53-120 project. I think we're looking for an update, but also we want to get some considerable board input questions. Number of questions I know are need to be answered here, and then we're going to begin that process. I think in working through that process, I think the ultimate impact will be to refine the plan as we go along, so that it takes greater shape in the process, because clearly that's something that we need to accomplish here in order to come to conclusions and have a project that we can work with. So if I could just ask Rocco, I think we have a short presentation here. Do you want to proceed with that, Rocco?
So here's what I'm going to talk about in the presentation today. It's about the core itself. Give you, again, very briefly on the design features. You've heard about this multiple times. You've received the report, the final report that we prepared, and the resolution that was adopted. I'll get you a little bit more details on the cost and how we really looked at it, and then also really talk about the funding and financing that we've evaluated within the report itself. And give you some ideas of what the next steps may be, and really, as you said, need to hear some discussion and thoughts on moving forward. BRAC, or the Blue Ribbon Advisory Council, provided some key recommendations for us. It's really about preserving the environment, enhancing connectivity. You've heard about that already today. Contact-sensitive roadway, respecting the land, and preserving the land. A lot of the environmental features are part of the recommendations. Looking for innovative funding and an innovative roadway itself. I'll talk about some of the funding and financing. In particular today, and then developing a corridor land use plan and strategy for implementation. So as you know, the recommendations, as you've heard today, that came out of the committee, it's a four-lane, 45-mile-per-hour tolled parkway. We still have some options along the 120 portion alignment that is up at the top that we still have to work through. But there's, as you've also heard, the recommendations for a depressed roadway or a lower profile in many locations. Throughout the corridor, and there's some high level of design and performance standards that were recommended by the council itself. Just want to make this clear, we are not suggesting reducing speed limits anywhere. Any new road that is built on the 53 or 120 portion itself, the recommendation there is 45 miles per hour, so we're not talking about reducing speeds. Okay, so really kind of the heart of what I want to hit here is just let you know how we approach this project from a funding and financing standpoint. What we did through the report, now this is a 9-month process, extremely high level. It really took us a while to kind of get to the point where we had an idea of what was going to be acceptable to the members of the council. But what we want to do is make sure that the cost that we put together, again, these are very high-level parametric-type costs for a project. We want to make this real, too. We work on a lot of projects where people talk about what the cost is in 2010. Well, 2010 was nice, but that was 2 years ago. What we actually did with this project was we looked at everything in a somewhat realistic midpoint of construction time and implementation. So we escalated everything up to the year 2020. So when you see the cost, these are what we would expect to be year of expenditure costs, and we took the same thing with the financing and ran it out. So it's something that is historically not done on projects like this, but we wanted to make sure we looked at it that way. And we escalated at 5% a year from 2012 to 2020. 2020 was thought as the midpoint of construction. We've got some very high-level estimates on what right-of-way may be assumed for the project, but that's likely to change. Our estimates were based on a much larger corridor, longer stretch on 120. This could change quite a bit. So we've got, right now, we're carrying a $200 to $300 million estimate. It's based on a bunch of different factors. So that also is high level. It's expected to change as we get into more details. We did include a lot of the costs in this project for the environmental features. There's design features such as some depressed roadways and tunnel sections, some berming, some stormwater treatment that is somewhat atypical of our projects now. We've allocated funding for land preservation, restoration, and long-term stewardship for the overall project in the corridor. We've got funding all for our typical environmental features for wetland mitigation, noise mitigation. And there's an additional 4% of construction cost that is included for this noise and environmental mitigation, which is above our typical, which is about 1% to 2% on projects, which is still a significant number. So we're, again, trying to be very realistic on what the numbers might be for this project. There's more detailed breakdown in the appendix of the document, so just wanted to give you the cost assumptions. And I'll tell you what the costs were that we estimated for the project. The total cost, now we've got two alignments that are still out there that are up for consideration. And the difference really is on the 120 portion at the top. The range for alignment one, which is the shortest segment on 120, is about $2.2 to $2.5 billion. And the other alignment, alignment two, which is a longer section of 120, is about $2.3 to $2.7. What we looked at, we had our traffic engineer, CDM, provide some toll revenue estimates for us. These are the annual toll projections that they estimated at 20 cents a mile along the corridor, which is comparable to what we are looking at for the Elgin O'Hare Western Access Project. So we're looking at the range of what the toll revenue would be. And then Mike and his team looked at bonding capacity based on this annual revenue projections. If this project were to be a standalone, looking at anywhere between 25 years, which is our cap now, to a 35-year bonding time frame at a 6%.